Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I don't know if am
عليكم
I being
السلام
seen.
ورحمة الله
أيوة الحمد
وبركاته.
لله رب العالمين. So you guys saw what were you guys in class when we got hacked?
نعم مستعد.
نعم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. And did you see what they said? How they tried to curse us
No, I didn't see that part.
نعم.
Yes. They identified themselves, and then they also tried to curse at us and call us ethnic slurs. And so they're against us for our religion, and they're against us because of our ethnicity. And this is something that I always want the African Muslims to realize, that there is a double racism, you know, for you when you're a Muslim. And anybody who was previously white, you lose your white privilege when you become Muslim as well. You know, it's all this type of thing. But it just shows the extent of the shayateen, the devils, that are in the humans and what they're going to do. For us, it's the same. You know, whether or not they expose themselves or not, it's good for us to see that there is a war going on. And it's not just a war of sticks and stones. It's a war of words. It's a war of ideology. It's an economic war. It's a war to get your message out and to prevent the other one from exposing and bringing out Islam. Okay? And something that people are trying to keep you from, you should be keen to try to figure out why is that? And what is that that you're missing from that? These kuffar, they spend, we talk the word mischievous. What it means is that a person is spending their every effort to do evil, as opposed to someone who is righteous, who is spending their every effort to do something that is right or corrective. Therein lies the difference. So when we say someone is mischievous, the word isn't given the gravity that it's due. Okay? And so what do we see? These people spend their energy, time, money in trying to go and bring evil to other people and destroy other people's time. Well, we spend our time, our money, our energies trying to bring joy to people's life. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah allow us to be successful in our endeavor and allow them to be successful in their endeavor to go to Jahannam. Okay? Let us get to our lesson at hand. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So let's, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, let's start all over, okay? We're in Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf is a beautiful surah. This is the most descriptive story in the Quran. The Sahaba came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, will you tell us some stories? Will you tell us a story? Because they're telling us stories. You know, we want to hear some stories. And the Jews from Medina came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, hey, you know, ask him about the story of Ya'qub. But they didn't say Ya'qub outright. They didn't say Yusuf outright. They just said the father, the man who had problems with his brothers and his son. And they started to describe it to see if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going to be able to figure it out. They figured he didn't know the story. And it's a Meccan surah. And it's revealed all at one time. Daf'atun wahida. And there's no nasikh and mansukh in the whole entire story. There's no, you know, nothing that is abrogated in this surah. Everything is still standing. Okay? So I see your hand up, Jamil. Please, you know, I'm not taking any questions. So now, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, let's start the story. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام راء. Allah uses these letters to gain our attention. Some of the Mufassirun not only say do these letters gain our attention, they're the normal letters everybody knows in the Arabic language. And the alif stands for the letters in the halq, in the throat, the lam, the letters on the tongue, and the ra or the meem, the letters on the lips. So each one of the areas is referred to. This is one of the meanings that they put forth, and Allah alone knows best. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. These are the signs, the ayat of the book that makes everything clear. The root word is abana. It's making something clear. And Allah tells us, He taught man bayan, alamahul bayan, how to articulate, and that's talk on the tongue. But also mubin, it means to make something clear. When we see the moon, it's mubin, it's clear. So this book is making things clear and understanding and taking away any doubts and ambiguities about the scripture, about life, about Allah, the angels, Iman, and the unseen. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. So Allah is saying, I've sent down and revealed this recital in a clear language that leaves no doubt whatsoever about what's being said. Also, we call it a Qur'an, that which is recited. Another meaning for the word Qur'anan is mujtami'an. Yani, everything is coming to you all the previous revelation is now parana, connected in this particular book. All the angles that you need to know are parana, Qur'anan, are connected in Arabic, in clear language in this book. So the message of Nur is clearly put forth here. The message of Adam, the message of Yunus, the message of Yusuf, the message of Isa, all the different messengers, prophets' message are coming together and are connected at different angles in this book as it is expressing Islam, which is the final connection and revelation and how humanity is supposed to go forth. Quran and Arabiyan, again, the word is not just Arabiyan linguistically, the people, but the language word, the literal meaning of the word means where nothing can be left to doubt about what's being said. Okay? Why? La'allakum ta'qilun. La'alla for the illa, the reason to make you all aqlan. Yani, have the ability to have restraint, to use your intellect, to make decisions based on intellect. Why restraint? Your intellect is what makes you different from an animal who's following his instinct. The animal has a period of time where she's in heat and she wants to give birth and have children. We're humans, we don't have that. We may have the desire, the lust, but because of our intellect, we know we do things the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained us to do that. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained and described for us to do in the revelation. So our aql is what shows us restraint, gives us pause, and directs us to do things and not follow our lusts, our desires, our hawa. A person without an intellect, without an aql, is an animal, a human animal. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Allah is telling us, I am narrating to you the best and the most beautiful and the most complete stories. بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا. In that I have أَوْحَيْنَا, I have revealed to you, إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ. This, the Qur'an, the book now is being referred to. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. And the fact of the matter is, before this, you didn't know anything about this story. You don't know the details about what's being revealed in the Quran, and in particular, the story of Yusuf. The details that is going to be brought out in this story from the Quran, even the Yahud didn't have. If qala Yusufu li abihi ya abati, when, now take yourself back and imagine When Yusuf is talking to his father, Ya Abati, oh my father, Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaban wash-shamsa wal-qamar ra'aytuhum li sajidina. I saw them prostrating to me. He said, oh my father, I have seen in a dream 11 stars, the sun and the moon. I saw them. This is ta'kid, re-emphasize. I saw them prostrating to me. His father, Ya'qub, he says, قَالَ يَا بُنَيِّ لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ. Oh, my son, he warns him, don't you tell this story. Don't tell the story of what you have seen, your vision, to your brothers. فَيَكِيدُ لَكَ كَيْدًا. Then they will plot against you. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. He says the fact of the matter is, Shaytan for all mankind is a clear and open enemy. Again, the word mubin is being re-emphasized here. Just like this book is making everything clear, the actions of Shaytan are very clear. He is your open enemy, Latin Z. He is your open enemy, okay? And you should understand that he is your enemy. Now, we should understand who is Ya'qub. Ya'qub is the prophet. Alhamdulillah, his other name is called Israel. And so his children are called Bani Israel. He had four wives. He had went to Laban, his father-in-law, and said, I want to marry your daughter, Rachel. In English, they call her Rachel. Rachel or Raquel, like that. But in the Hebrew text, it's Rachel, just like it is in the Muslim text. So even amongst them, the proper way is Rahil. I want to marry your daughter, Rahil. He said, work for me for 7 years and I'll marry her to you. So he worked for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, he married a woman he thought was Rahil. It actually was her older sister, Leah. They covered her up. You know, she had a hijab on. And when they went into the room at nighttime, it was dark. He consummated the marriage. In the morning, he saw that it was Leah. So Laban, his father-in-law, says, you know, what could I do? I can't leave the older daughter not to get married and marry the younger daughter before the older daughter. That's not going to be right. So he married Leah to her. So what did Ya'qub do? Ya'qub, he did another 7 years. Look at the sabr of Ya'qub. And then he married Rahil. So he's married to two sisters, okay? He's married to them. And this was lawful in the Sharia of the Bani Israel. This is before Bani Israel, of course. So it's lawful in the Sharia of Ya'qub at that time, okay? He also had two slave women who worked for him. And he freed those two slave women and married them. So these are his four wives. From those four wives, he has 12 sons. He has some daughters, but these are the 12 sons, and they're called the 12 sons, Bani Israel, the children of Israel. Il is the Hebrew way of saying Allah. So Isra is the slave of, as we say Usra, right? Asir, similar, Egypt, yani Hebrew and Arabic are very similar. So Israel means Abdullah, okay? Some people try to say, oh, the one who wrestled with him. But the word Isra is slave. Like we say, when we take someone, we make them asir and asrahum, yani make them slaves. So Israel or Ya'qub is a Nabi of Allah. And he's warning his son Yusuf, the noble son of Yusuf, okay? The noble son Yusuf, that his brothers might have hasid for them, okay? Don't tell them that. You're the almost the youngest of these brothers. Don't tell him your story. Then he turns around and tells him, well, كَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. He didn't just leave him there and say, okay, look, I'm warning you, don't tell him that. But he's telling him, now I'm going to explain to you your dream. Well, كَذَلِكَ likewise, يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord is choosing you and he's choosing you. You're in the act of going through a process now. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَاوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ And he is teaching you the meanings of things, the interpretation of events, not just dreams, any a story, even a book story, a legend, any event, you're going to understand what the real interpretation, what's really happening here. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ And he is completing the ni'mah, the blessing that he has on you, Allah's blessings on you, like he did on the family of Ya'qub before. كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ Like he completed his favor, his ni'mah, upon your forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq. مِنْ قَبْلُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ So he says, your Lord is Alim Hakim. Remember, Hakim is describing Alim. So he is the Alim, the all-knowing one, who on top of that is wise in all-knowing, has Hakim, has wisdom, authority, precision, because that's another meaning of Hakim, precision. In his wisdom and knowing how and using his knowledge. لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ There is, now we're taking a new scene where as the story is being narrated, a point is being made. And this point is important right now because he's telling you in the beginning, pay attention. In this story, there are a lot of signs. There are a lot of ayah lissa'ineen for whoever is asking, meaning looking for them, whoever's searching for them, seeking them. So why is that important in the beginning? Because when you give a lesson, when you tell the students the learning objective will be X, Y, Z, now the students are perked up looking for that objective. Looking for that learning objective. So Allah tells us at the beginning, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفْ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ Not for everybody, but for whoever seeks them. So ask for them. Make dua for them. إِذْ قَالُوا Now it takes us to another scene, and it makes us to imagine and envision. إِذْ in the when. إِذْ قَالُوا Who's they? The brothers, the 10 brothers. إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا The fact is that Yusuf and his brother, Benjamin, who is the baby, are more beloved to our father than us. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ And we are this strong group of men. عُصْبَ in Arabic means at least 10 strong men up to 40. Okay? 10 strong men up to 40. Above that, it becomes an army. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ A gang of men. إِنَّ أَبَانَ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Our father is surely astray. لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Now, ضَلَال has a bunch of meanings in the Quran. One of them, is dalalna fil ard, meaning, first of all, linguistically, dalal is to be astray, okay? To be lost. So if we say dalalna fil ard, it means the person is buried under the ground. You don't know where he is. You can't see him, okay? Dalal means dalal off the religion, out of the deen. Walad dalin, they don't have any deen, okay? And then we have dalal here, where the person is not establishing justice. Dalal. And we have the word dalla, right? Dalla dalalam mubin. Again, that's not having justice. Not this. We call the person dull. It has become an English word. It's not sharp. Can't understand anything. So here, mubin is being used again. Clearly this person, without doubt, he is off it, okay? And we know that the children are wrong, not Ya'qub. So it's exactly what happened. Now they want to kill him. اقتلوا يوسف او اطرحوه ارضا يخلو لكم وجه ابيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين. قال قائل منهم لا تقتلوا يوسف. So now we have three groups. One group wants to kill him. One group wants to beat him up and drive him out the land, exile him. Another group wants, says, don't kill him. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. Just throw him in a deep, dark well someplace. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْدُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَعْلِينَ. Some caravan will come by and they'll find him and that's, they'll take him away. You know, that's, if you're going to do anything, just do that. Why do they have all this plot? What's the deal here? Well, one of the wives of Yaqub heard his father, Yaqub, telling him that you're being chosen by Allah. And she went back and told the brothers. He's making the younger one, making it seem as though Yaqub has the ability to do that. Yaqub is giving his nubuwa, his rank, to the young one, his son, Yusuf. And the brothers got jealous. He's going to give him love. He loved him more than us. And we're strong, and he's going to give it to him. And this is what this conversation is based on. And it's implied that it's not Leah or Rahil, because those are his aunt and his mother, his physical aunt, Leah, and his mother, Rahil. So it's not them. So it has to be one of the two slave girls that he freed and married them afterwards. So now the boys, the other sons, I should say, they're not boys, the other men, are jealous. First of all, they'd have the Lala. They think that Yaqub can choose who's going to be the prophet. Then they think he's wrong because he's spending attention to these two young boys and we're these grown men, not realizing or considering that young children need more attention than grown men do or should. So they started the kaid, just like Yaqub said, yakidu lahu kaidan. They're plotting. One plot is uqtulu. The other plot is atrihuhu. Kick him out the land. The third one, and then they say, yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum. So then afterwards, you'll be free and have no interference with getting your face of your father, meaning getting some attention from your father. وَتَكُونُ, and then after that, you can all be, مِن بَعْدِهِ, after Yusuf is gone, قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ, will be good people. صَالِحِينَ, people who are rectifying themselves. Okay, won't be corrupt anymore. We'll be doing good. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ, one amongst them, one of them, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ, don't kill Yusuf. Rather, وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ, rather throw him down into a deep, غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ is a dried up bitter. الْجُبْ is a dried up bitter. A bitter is a well. Throw him down a dried up well. Gayaba means that it is ghaib, unseen. The bottom of the well is so deep, you can't even see the bottom because it gets so dark, so deep the well goes. And in those wells are scorpions and rocks and all types of things that could be living down there. Snakes, Allahu A'lam. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ. Al-laqit is a lost item or a lost child. So he uses that word. Yaltaqithu, somebody who doesn't know that this well is empty, a sayyara, so it has to be a traveling caravan, sayyara, they'll pick him out, they'll pull him out of them. In kuntum fa'ilin, if we're going to do anything, if you're going to do something, do that. So we didn't kill him, we didn't beat him up, right? And somebody else took him and got away, took him out of there. قالوا يا أبانا. Now here, look at this. Yusuf said يا أبتي, and he meant it. But now they're putting into practice their cave, their plot. They go to him after they've agreed on this. قالوا يا أبانا, oh our father. So we know that more than one is talking. They are talking from different angles, trying to convince their father. مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّا لَا تَأْمَنَّا. You see, I push my little forward, tamanna, because it's tamanuna, but you put your lips forward and say, tamanna, why don't you entrust us? Amanabi, right? Why don't you all entrust us with Ala Yusuf? Why don't you entrust us over Yusuf? Give Yusuf to us as an amana. Wa inna lahu lanasihun, and we are lanasihun. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dinu nasiha." Right? The deen is about nasiha. Nasiha is a type of honey that has nothing in it but honey. It's pure, 100%. So they're liars. They're saying, ya abana, in the polite form, but they mean by it a trick. Then they're saying, wa inna lahu lanasihun. We are wholeheartedly for him. We have nothing but nasiha for him. Tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Allah tells us, make tawbah to Allah, a tawbah that is nasuha, pure, 100%. So they're saying, we are without doubt 100% wholehearted for Yusuf. And they're lying. Arsilhu ma'ana gada. Send him with us tomorrow morning. Gada is tomorrow morning. That's what we call it, gadan. Okay? Send it to him the first part of the morning. Yarta wa yal'ab. He will play and he will be able to run on the pasture. Right? Wa inna lahu lahafidhuna. And we will, without doubt, we will be protecting and preserving him. لَحَافِظُونَ حِفْظٌ لَهُ. Right? Like we have the Quran, we will preserve and protect him. Look at us. We are a big group of guys. What did Yaqub reply? قَالَ إِنِّي لَا يُحْزِنُنِي. In other qira'ah, لَا يَحْزِنُنِي. In wash, لَا يُحْزِنُنِي. This, it makes me huzn. It saddens me. Okay? لا يحزنني أن تذهبوا به. It's making me sad, huzn, that y'all would go away with him, that y'all would go and take him away from me during the daytime or any time. Why? وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون. And I'm afraid, وأخاف, that a wolf would eat him. وأنتم عنه غافلون. And y'all at the same time won't be paying attention to him. So now it's laid out. The language is there. He tells them, I'm afraid, I'm sad. It makes me as sad. He owns up to his feelings. There's a lot to understand in how Yaqub talks. He's owning up to his feelings. It makes me sad that y'all would take him away. And I am afraid that a wolf would eat him and y'all might not be paying attention. Okay? Qalu, what did they respond? La innaka lahu dhib wa nahnu usba inna idhan la khasiruna. So they replied to him saying, la in, what if a wolf would eat him? If the wolf could get near him and eat him, wa nahnu usba, and we're this big usba. Remember, they're relying on, they think they're so big of themselves. And we're this.
Hey, walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Let's go back to where we was at, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so the word here is lemma, okay? The word is lemma. فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَنْ يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. He says here, فَلَمَّا. The word فَلَمَّا is a word that's used when you're telling a story and you're saying, when this happened, then something else happened. That's when you use فَلَمَّا or just lemma. So he says, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ. So when they went with him, وَأَجْمَعُوا, and they had already gathered together and agreed. Al-ijma. Ijma is the noun, right? But ajma'u is they agreed, the action. They all agreed. And yaja'aluhu fi ghayabatil jub. And they all agreed. Hey, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So I was mentioning Yusuf is 10 years old, okay? 10-year-old boy. And he's going against these brothers of his who are 10 and they're grown men. Young men, but grown men. وَأَجْمَعُوا أَنْ يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. And they have gathered together to throw him in this well. And this well is so deep, you can't even see the bottom. And it's not even a well that has water, it's dried up. وَأَوْحَيْنَا. So wa here means but. أَوْحَيْنَا. We reveal to Yusuf at that time. Because now, why is it important to know that he's 10? Because he's scared. And he's begging them, don't throw me in the well. Don't throw me down the well. He's begging, and he's turning to them, each one of them, and looking them in the face. Please, don't throw me in the well. I'll go away. Don't throw me in the well. And they strip him of his clothes, his shirt. So now he's cold too, and they throw him down the well. Okay? Jibril comes to keep him company and to keep him from being frightened and terrified. And this is what Allah is talking about here. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ. And we reveal to him, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. So he knew, and we're going to inform them. You're going to see them again, don't worry. And you're going to tell them about everything that happened here, this situation, and they ain't even going to realize that it's you. So now he's no longer afraid because Jibril tell him, I'm going to get out of here. Okay? And he even tells him, look, you're not only going to get out of here, they're going to pull you out of the well. They're going to sell you into slavery. Don't worry about it. When you get to wherever you're going, you're going to be honored. You're going to be okay. You're going to be taken care of. So he's calm with it. When they pull you out the well, don't say anything. They're going to say you're a slave. Don't say anything. So he already knows and has this understanding. How much he knew, Allah knows best. But he knew not to say anything. And he knew he was going to get pulled out. And he knew he was going to get sold into slavery and that his situation would get better. So he was ready to go. So now the plot thickens, as they say. The drama continues. So they went home to their father at Isha, and at the time of Isha, at nighttime, late night. We call it Isha, the late night meal, because in the scriptures, you're not, in Islam as well, you're not supposed to put food on top of food in your stomach. So we eat late. Why? Because the food of the morning, of the lunch, has to get out of your stomach before you eat. So you find desert Bedouins don't eat until late at night. Isha. So the name got thrown on it as Isha. Okay, the late night meal. So they get there at nighttime. Yabukun. And they're all crying. Woo-hoo-hoo. The drama, the lie, the hypocrisy. Balu. What did they say? Ya Abana. Again, the form of respect, but no respect. This is. You have to see the systematic nifaq, the consistent hypocrisy and blatant lie. The appearance of one thing, but behind it is falsehood. Ya Abana, inna dhahabna nastabiqu wa tarakna Yusufa inda mata'ina fa'akalahu dhib. Just like you said happened, it happened. They used this story against them. We went racing, nastabiqu, and we left, tarakna Yusuf inda mata'ina. We left him in with our mata'ina, our wares. This is very important. Every piece of this story catches up to another piece of the story. When Yusuf is pulled out, they put him in their mata'ina. They put him in their luggage. They put him in their wares. Just like they said, he was with their wares. Inda mata'ina fa'akalahu dhib. And the wolf came and ate him. Wa ma anta bimu'minin lana. And we know you don't believe us. We know you don't trust us. Wa law kunna sadiqina. Even though we're telling the truth. Law here means even if. So in is if. In the future, inshallah. Law sha'Allah, if Allah had wanted. Walau kunna, law kunna, even though we are. Okay, that's what walau kunna, it's a phrase. Walau kunna sadiqin, even if we were being truthful. So it means two things. Even if we were truthful, even though we are being truthful, both can be understood. And this is the play on the word that Allah is using, even if we were truthful, because that's how it should be understood. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. Again, another important point that follows itself up over and over in this story, the shirt of Yusuf. His shirt is now filled with blood, lying blood. Some say that it was the blood of a wolf that they killed. Some say it was the blood of one of the sheep that they killed and poured the blood on it. But they were such amateurs. They didn't even have a way to rip up or think to rip up the shirt like a wolf would have torn into the shirt to bite the boy. So it's just a bloody shirt with no rips, no tears, no nothing. Bidemin kedib. Also, Yaqub is a shepherd. If it was the blood of a sheep, he would know it by the smell. And if it's the blood of a wolf, then he would know it as well. He would know the difference that between that and the blood of his son, of a human. Anyone who does the slaughtering knows the smells of different bloods. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمُ أَنفُسُكُمُ أَمْرًا in Warsh. Here he says, "Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amran fa sabrun jameel." Yaqub responds to him and says, "Rather, sawwalat lakum, you all tricked yourselves into believing this issue. You all tricked yourselves into thinking that y'all could get away with this thing. Okay? Y'all made this up. Fa sabrun jameel. So the best thing that I can do, the most beautiful thing to do right now is to have sabr. And also, for sabrun jameel, so beautiful sabr is what I have to display right now. This is the response, sabrun jameel. So we can write that down, if you're going to put that down, as how to respond to a musibah, a calamity like Yaqub just got, and you know their line. He knows, he heard the dream of Yaqub, of his son Yusuf. He knows the promise of Allah. He knows that Yusuf is not dead. But what does he have to do? Sabrun jameel. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. And Allah, and only Allah, is al-musta'an, the one to give aun, help. We say this word musta'an, no one should have a problem with this word. We say it every time we offer salah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. For musta'an huwa alladhi nasta'inu. We're seeking the ista'ana from Allah. And he is al-musta'an, the one to give us the aun, the help, the support. Ala ma tasifun, about what you are tasifun, describing. What you are wasfun, what is sifat, what you have described happening, Allah is going to help me. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ, so a caravan comes. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ الْوَارِدَ, the word warada, we call bintu warada, is called a water bug. Bintu waraba, warada. That's what a cockroach or a water bug is. Because the word warada has to deal with water. Irrigation. Waridahum is the water boy. Okay? Waridahum, their water boy. The one who goes and fetches the water. Waja'at sayyara, so a caravan comes. Allah drew them to the well. Fa'arsalu waridahum. So they sent their water boy to pull some water. Fa'adlad dalwa. So he throws down his bucket, his rope. Dalwahu, to pull it up. So what does Yusuf do? He do? I would be quiet too. The person might be scared and think it's a jinn calling out of the well. So he lets the rope come down. He holds on to it. He's only 10. The man pulls him up and doesn't know the difference between the heavy water and this light boy of 10 years old. And he says, Ma qala ya bushra hadha gulam. Oh, what bushra, what good news, what great luck, you might say. Okay? What a good event, bushra, bashir. Okay? Ya bushra hadha gulam. What a good event is this boy. Okay? Look, I found a boy. Okay? What does that mean? A boy, no shirt on, been in the well for 3 days. He'd been in that well for 3 days. So he's dirty looking, a 10-year-old scruffy looking boy with no clothes on or without no shirt on. He must not have nobody. What are they going to do? Sadly, they still do the same thing to little boys they find. Sell them into slavery. So we came up. We're going to now make some more profit by selling this boy. وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةٍ. So they hid him. Asarra is to hide something. This we call a sir, a secret. And we also call the bed sarir, because it's the place of your secret intimacy with your family. And it should remain a sir, a sir. And it's also sir, it means to be happy. Asarruhu means both. It's something that made them happy and they hid it as a secret. How did they hide it? Bida'a, as it was one of their wares. They stuck him under there with the rest of the things that they were carrying to Misra. In the story, it comes out that the boys, the brothers were watching from afar. And they ran up and said, hey, man, that's our slave right there. That boy right there. You know, give us something for him. We don't want him, but you can have him. Give us anything for him. And so they give him something. Others say, no, this is when they sold him when he got to Misra. Allah knows best. The important thing is he was sent into slavery. Wallahu alimun bima ya'malun. And Allah was well aware, fully knowledge of what they were doing. So it looks, why is that statement there? That statement's there because people think poor Yusuf, okay? He got out of the frying pan and got sent into the fire, got out of the well and got sent into slavery. Now Allah knows what's going on. It's all part of the qadr of Allah. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. And they sharauhu bithaminin, they sold him for a cheap price. Baksin is cheap. Thamin is a price. They sold him for cheaply. Just give us some few darahim ma'dudan, a few bits of coins. Darahim, a few dollars. Ma'duda, numbered. We get the word add the English word add from this word add. Ma'duda. A few parts, cheap number of few small number of coins. Wakanu fihi min az-zahidin. This means wakanu, and they were with regards to him min az-zahidin. A zahid is something that looks at someone who looks at something else as worthless. This ain't worth much. It's just a little scrawny looking dirty boy, you know, can't do nothing. People want to buy strong slaves. Only this little boy. So they said, give me whatever you got. Give me a few coins for that. And so they sold him. Again, he's being underappreciated. Underappreciated. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرُ. So now the story changes. Now he's been purchased. And the one who purchased him from Egypt, he says, لِمْرَأَتِهِ, he tells his wife, Akrimi mathwah. He tells her, honor his stay here. Akrimi mathwahu. Honor his stay here. You see, this is something else. He's got sold into slavery or thrown down an empty well by his brothers, sold into slavery, then sold again. The selling into slavery the second time was less hurtful for him than his own brothers abandoning him and throwing him down a well and then selling him into slavery. Because the aba'id don't hurt you as much as the aqarib do. Your aqarib, your close relatives, can hurt you. But the aba'id, they don't hurt you so much. You don't expect much from them. So when he gets to these people's house who don't know him, and they say, honor his stay. Asa an yanfa'ana, perhaps he'll benefit us. Aw nattakhidhahu walada, or we will take him as a son. And so now he went from being treated poorly in his own father's house to being honored and treated as a son, because the wife of the one who purchased him could not have children. So they wanted to adopt the son, and so they took him as their son. And they gave him the highest, they gave him the room on top of their house. So he's no longer in the bottom of a dark well. He's on the top getting the sun. He's being treated like the son of the governor. He's getting the education, living in a castle, having people serve him. And Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And like that, just like that, we established for Yusuf in the land. We made Yusuf a step. So now he's getting the education of an aristocrat. He's getting as a child now from 10 years old all the way till he becomes 20. He's being educated and treated and taught and trained to be the son of the governor of Egypt. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And in order to teach him the means, the interpretation of events. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah is ghalib. See, you have to understand the word in its individual context sometimes in order to understand the meaning of the sentence, because it doesn't make sense in English. You can't phrase it in English the way. Ghalib means the one who always wins, the one who always overwhelms, the one whose will always gets done. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri, out of over the situation of Yusuf. Walakin akthar al-nas, however, most people don't understand it. They don't know. They think that something, that the plan of Allah was being defeated. No, Allah is ghalibun ala amri. Amri Yusuf wa amrihi huwa. Allah subhanahu never defeats. Always overwhelming, always conquering, always his will is being done in his affairs. However, most people do not know this. They don't get it, because it looks like Shaitan is winning. It looks like the Kufar are doing what they want to do when they're not. We are just going to be where Allah wants us to be, where Allah ordained us to be, and so there is where we will be. No matter how you think you got there because Allah wanted you to be there. And at this point, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, we will stop the lesson, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll pick it up once Yusuf is 20 years old. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, I hope that what we have said here benefits you and helps you understand something of the story of Yusuf. If there's any questions about anything I covered thus far, ask me now. Yes, go ahead. Bismillah. Oh, I think she muted all you guys' microphone. Is that correct?
It's unmuted, inshallah, and also the chat is open.
Okay, the chat is muted, is open, and it's unmuted for you guys. So if anyone has any questions, they can go ahead and ask them. If there's no questions, now.
I believe when you went out the first time that you were just now getting to ayah 14. And I
don't tell me the ayah number. Don't tell me the ayah number. Tell me the ayah. Tell me the ayah.
Qalu la in
akalahu dhi'bu wa nahnu usba inna idhan la min al khasirin. La khasirun. Naam?
I'm ya ustad.
Okay. So what that means is that they're saying, you know, if they're responding to their father saying, if a wolf, the wolf, we call it the wolf, right? The wolf is out there. The lion will get you. But we mean any lion, any wolf. If the wolf can get to him, and we are this usba, 10 strong young men, then if that's the case, if we're so weak, we can't even protect our brother from a wolf, and we're 10 strong men, then we are surely, clearly a bunch of losers. Okay? And again, I'm glad you mentioned that, because again, they keep telling on themselves, yes, you are a bunch of you losers, you know, because not only did the wolf not get them, but you guys became the wolf. Okay? 10 wolves in actuality. So again, they say we're a bunch of losers, then they actually show up and, you know, wonder why they're treated like a bunch of losers in the end. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make it easy for us. Does that explain the ayah for you?
Yeah, Ustaz.
Hey, walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I think someone else wrote something. Thank you for reminding us. What is the source for the information about Yaqub's wives? And one of the wives told the brothers about the prophethood of Yusuf. Alhamdulillah, this all this stuff is in tafsir. Okay? Tafsir. All you have to do is read tafsir. Sometimes I'm amazed with questions like that. You know, the source material for this is found in the books of tafsir. There are multiple books of tafsir. You can find the tafsir of Sheikh Al-Harari. His tafsir is about 10 tafsirs in one. And Tabari and different ones like that, you can find these. Even in the older volumes of Ibn Kathir, you will find some of these things that you're going to hear me say. And also you can go to the tafsir of Sheikh, Astaghfirullahi Lazeem. I'm forgetting his name at the moment. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I can't remember his name at the moment. Give me a second. Khalid Septi as well. You can look at his tafsir, Sheikh Khalid Septi. These are some of the books that you can look at to find the stories yourself, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. The problem is that most people, you have to read a lot in order to get the stories out. The good thing is that these things are available online now. So even if you didn't have availability of the books, they're online. So you can pull up the PDFs and read them yourselves. Alhamdulillah. I am bringing together from multiple different tafasir, inshallah. And I hope that benefits. Anyone else? Any other questions? And let me correct the question too. She didn't tell him about the prophethood of Yusuf. They didn't. She said that she's choosing him to be in charge. That's how she looked at it. Actually, her statement shows the ignorance of what her husband actually was and how prophethood gets laid down. The brothers were looking at it as who's going to be in charge. And they were vying with each other to be in charge based on their strength, their physical strengths. Okay. Again, this is another part of the story that is very important to look how they looked at the criteria for leadership. And okay, alhamdulillah. Any other questions? Jazakumullah khair. Okay, Jazakumullah khair, barakallahu fikum. We thank you for your patience. Alhamdulillah. I hope and pray that everybody benefited from the kufar breaking into the classroom. It should let you know that what you're doing is so important that they want to break it up. Okay? It reminds me of the days when my parents were in the civil rights or the human rights movement, and they couldn't gather together to talk and things like that because of the Ku Klux Klan and the basic Jim Crow apartheid system in the United States. You know, we're still, you know, going through those types of things here in Islam. So it's a good thing for us to appreciate the value of our lessons. Okay? Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa jazakumullahu khair. To the administrators, Ms. Yasin and Colonel Saad, and all of you guys for coming back to the class and being brave enough to come back to the class and continue your studies. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Of course.